The following message first aired as a broadcast of Grace and Truth Radio, hosted by Pastor John Bodner of Hope Assembly in Mississauga, Ontario. For more information, contact www.hopeabc.org.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more go out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3, 7-13. My theme today is the church with an open door. Revival. That's been our theme as week by week we've called on born-again Bible-believing Christians to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches in this closing book of the Bible. We've sought to listen and heed the glowing, burning, searching words of Jesus Christ in His glory as He addresses us through the Apostle John. He's speaking to you, to your church, today. For these seven congregations purposefully reflect the entire range of experience, conduct, devotion, and fidelity God's people know throughout their pilgrimage. One by one we followed the messenger who posted this revelation and these epistles in town after town along the Roman roads of Asia Minor. Have you met your church along the way? Have you discovered yourself here as the Spirit of God speaks to you? Of all these seven churches we've been watching, which would you think the most likely to succeed or even to survive? You could ask that question of the churches, assemblies, religious communities, and denominational outlets you pass daily in your local area. Who of all these churches will survive, thrive, and advance in the years to come till the Savior returns? Fact is, you just can't tell. You can't tell then, you can't tell now. Take the seven churches of Asia Minor now before us. The most solid, orthodox, zealous is the mother church at Ephesus. Has it a future? The Lord Jesus warns it. He may soon remove it altogether. Pergamos has gloriously overcome persecution, yet even now wavers on the brink of apostasy. Smyrna abounds in the works of faith, hope, and love, all the while inching towards doctrinal, ethical disaster. Sardis has a great name. Its pastors seem packed with vim, vigor, and vibrancy, and all the while, in Christ's eyes, they're dead. In all these chapters of the Bible, the Lord Jesus promises but one church, both survival and success. Only one church has pledged stunning advances on earth and eternal triumph in heaven. To one church only, the Savior gives an open door, a real future. That church is the weakest, poorest, smallest of them all, Philadelphia. Which church has a future? You can't tell, for the future remains in the hands of the Savior alone. Out in Hebden Bridge, West Yorkshire, England, stands a neat, modest little strict Baptist chapel. Its many years up and down had left it in the 1950s, with only one elderly member, a sister named Flo Smith. Throughout the 1960s, she quietly kept the building up, praying, hoping the Savior would open a door for its work to recommence. And today, a viable local church and a full congregation occupy that chapel in answer to her prayer and labor. In Tottenham, North London, England, another modest chapel was kept open as a Bible school with a handful of adult believers. Finally, they were persuaded to form a local church within it. For 10 years, they struggled just to hold on. And then in 2 short years, the Lord turned the captivity, and today a sizable assembly meets and ministers within its walls. When the Lord led us to establish what is now Hope Assembly, We were told by the worldly wise and the otherwise we had no future. But year after year, for 10 years now, we've not ceased teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. As the Savior has opened the door of hope, the door of opportunity, the door of utterance to speak the gospel of Christ. And we keep on keeping on. We have hope of better things in days to come because we don't listen to the worldly wise and the otherwise. We listen to Jesus Christ, our King. When the Lord Jesus speaks by this book, we listen. These things saith he that is holy. He speaks as God, the Eternal Son, the Holy One of Israel. These things saith he that is true. He speaks as the Son of Man, Christ of David's line, who is faithful and true to judge and discern. This our Savior holds the key of David with all authority in heaven and earth. With his keys to death and hell, he keeps the gates of glory as he promised. He opens opportunities he pleases, and nothing can stop him. Christ Jesus, our Prince and Savior, now rules as regent over the kingdom of God, and he uses the key of knowledge, the preaching of his word, to open the door of faith, the door of repentance, to sinful men and women, boys and girls. With that key, he opened a door for the church at Philadelphia, a door on earth, a door to heaven. Over and over he calls these discouraged believers to see his gracious purpose. He calls to them, "Behold, behold, behold, I ask you now to see that open door for yourselves. See the open door on earth," in verses 8 to 10. The Savior opens this door as a reward to a very small church, a church so conscious of its weakness it trusts in him alone, a church true to the scriptural message that it has received in the gospel, a church tenacious in confessing the Lord at all hazards. Christ tells them, "Thou hast a little strength." In numbers, in wealth, in social eminence, in political influence, the Christians of Philadelphia were nobodies. The eminent successful people of the heathen city were celebrated with large pillars inscribed with their deeds in the main temples of what was called Little Athens. You could read no Christian's name there. The Jewish synagogue, swollen with refugees from the disastrous rebellion of AD 70, had by now begun to expel many believers in Jesus as Messiah from their ranks. Many of these Jewish Christians were cast out and shunned by their own families and neighbors. They were nobody. Yet this very weakness drove them to depend wholly on God. They proved the all-sufficient grace of the Savior in their weakness. They fulfilled the ancient oracle of Zechariah, "Not by might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." And to the trusting church came the open door. "Thou hast kept my word," the Lord Jesus says. Never had they compromised, diluted, or disguised the gospel message they held by the witness of the apostles from the Old Testament scriptures. "Thou hast kept the word of my patience," he tells us. They have endured in holding and teaching the doctrine of Christ crucified, who patiently endured the cross and shed his blood to redeem men to God from sin. "Thou hast not denied my name," says Jesus. Whatever the cost, the test, they stood fast in their allegiance to their King. This little church had a future because it was true to its past and the present. Faithful in little, it could be faithful in much. The Lord has a future for any such church. He knows them. He grants them the open door. Is that your church? Is that you as an individual believer in Christ? Your weakness, your size means nothing to him. It never has. Again and again, he has raised vast movements of gospel outreach from a consecrated handful. It is nothing with him to save by many or few. But are you keeping all of his word? Are you steadfast in confessing at any cost? Are you using today to the utmost all you have to his praise? Such a church is rewarded the open door. See what the open door reveals. Here, as in the New Testament, this open door means opportunity to witness. How often Paul prayed for such opportunities. To the Colossians he says, "Pray for us that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." The gospel first entered Europe when God opened the doors of the city of Philippi, the door of Lydia's heart, and the door of her home to receive its saving truth. The open door means also victory over opposition in verse 9, as the Savior promises the conversion of the church's bitterest enemies. Like Paul before them, many in that very synagogue would come to acknowledge the Lord Jesus as Messiah. They would join in the worship of his name with the very saints they despised. God's people need no repression, persecution, legal sanctions to protect their cause. The word of the gospel and the good deeds of God's people can touch the hardest heart and overcome evil with good. The open door means stability amid the worst trials. because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee in the hour of temptation. The Savior sent these words through John to Philadelphia about AD 95. From 98 AD, for about a century, the Roman emperors from Domitian onwards set their hands to completely root out the faith of Christ. And through it all, the church at Philadelphia survived. In fact, this church alone, of all the seven in Asia, persisted for centuries, even to the middle of this very century, in Muslim Turkey, a church has endured in this same town. Stability, victory, opportunity are in store for the trusting, faithful, steadfast church that stands by the Christ of the Bible. That open door is also set in heaven. Christ promises the church, the victorious believer that endures to the end by grace, the permanence, prominence, and praise of a pillar in heaven, the positive assurance of complete possession by God in His people, and the complete likeness of the Son of God Himself. They will stand forever in heaven, emblazoned with the name of God, the city of God, the name of the Son of God. Is there a future for you, my brother, my sister? Is there a future for your local assembly? Oh, take heart in these terrible days. Revival can come. It is as sure as your fidelity, faith, and firmness to the Lord Jesus and His truth. It is as all wonderful as grace and glory, as sure as His mercies in time and eternity. There's an old spiritual that you must sing as we sing from week to week in our labors. Remember it. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go. In Jesus' name.
This message was sponsored by Hope Assembly of Bible Christians in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. If you wish to receive spiritual help, information about our ministries, or permission to use this audio message, please contact Pastor John Bodner at www.hopeabc.org or www.jpbodner.com. Thank you, and God bless you.